What if a black hole isn't, you know, a cosmic trash compactor, but rather the universe's most hyper-advanced AI?
Yeah, that is definitely not how we usually think about them.
Right. Like, we generally picture these things as just terrifying vacuums that swallow everything, even light. We view them as the ultimate destructors, right? Like the absolute end of the line for physical reality. But we're looking at a piece of research today that completely flips that script for you.
It really does. Because the premise we're unpacking today is that a black hole is actually the most efficient information processor in existence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if we look past all the destructive sci-fi tropes, we actually find the universe's ultimate compression engine. And the researchers behind today's source material, they've merged theoretical astrophysics with computer science to propose this this framework called conditional collapse theory, or CCT for short.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the mission for our deep dive today is to figure out how reverse engineering a literal black hole could allow an artificial intelligence to process information at the fundamental speed limit of the universe.
Exactly.
Which means we are talking about fundamentally redefining what it even means for a system to be smart.
Right. And to get there, we need to start with how conditional collapse theory actually defines intelligence. Because in this framework, intelligence isn't about, you know, how much data you can store or how fast you can do basic math.
Yeah.
It's simply the ability to efficiently collapse semantic entropy.
Okay, wait, let's break down semantic entropy for anyone listening who isn't an information theorist. Because entropy usually means chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or disorder.
Right.
So in a data context, we're basically talking about uncertainty, like the fog of just not knowing the answer.
That is exactly it, yes.
Right, so to make this concrete, oh, actually, let me try to frame this. Think about playing a really competitive game of guess who, or like 20 questions.
Well, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, so you have a board of, say, 24 faces, right? And your goal is to find your opponent's character.
Yeah.
The entropy in this scenario is your uncertainty about which face is the right one.
That is the perfect way to look at it. Because under the CCT framework, intelligence is evaluated as this mathematical ratio. So on the top of the fraction, you have your collapse potential, which is how much of that uncertainty you actually manage to resolve.
Okay.
And then on the bottom of the fraction, you have your computational work, like how much energy or time you actually spent to get that resolution.
Okay, which means if I ask a really poorly calibrated question, right? Like, I don't know, does your person have a tiny, imperceptible scar on their left cheek?
Right, terrible question.
Yeah, and the answer is no. I've expended computational work to ask that question and process the answer, but I might have only eliminated one single character from the board.
Exactly. You haven't collapsed much uncertainty at all.
But if I ask, does your person have facial hair? I wipe out half the board immediately. Mm-hmm. Minimal work, massive collapse potential.
Spot on. So the smartest possible agent is the one that calculates the optimal sequence of questions to collapse that uncertainty using the absolute minimum effort.
Makes sense.
And the paper takes this optimal strategy and maps it directly onto astrophysics. The researchers argue that black holes and perfectly optimized AI systems are, well, what we call isomorphic.
Isomorphic.
Yeah.
Meaning they share the exact same underlying mathematical architecture, right? There's basically different physical expressions of the identical formula.
They are. The mathematical operators a black hole naturally uses to compress physical matter and information in space, those are the identical operators an AI needs to use to collapse uncertainty efficiently inside a neural network.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. The black hole is essentially already playing the perfect, most energy-efficient game of 20 questions with the fabric of reality.
Okay, so if an AI is going to steal this strategy, if it's going to mimic a black hole to get that smart and that fast, there has to be a specific mechanism, right? The paper actually gives us the recipe, doesn't it?
It does. They break down the black hole compression mixture into 5 distinct mathematical actions, complete with specific weights for each.
So we are diving straight into the mechanics of how the universe compresses reality at the event horizon.
We are. The researchers call this the C sub BH operator. And the heavy lifter of this mixture, making up just over half of the entire process, about 52%, is called the entropy clip.
Okay, clipping implies, you know, cutting something off or forcing it to fit. How does that work on raw data?
It functions as this really aggressive categorization mechanism because continuous messy data requires a lot of computational power to track since there are infinite variations.
Right.
So the entropy clip forces those infinite possibilities into discrete, rigid states. The paper uses the example of a probability distribution spread across 1,024 different nuanced states.
Okay, so a lot of detail.
Right. And the clip violently squashes all of that nuance down into just four distinct bins. It throws away all the subtle gradients and just forces a hard decision.
Oh, I see. It's like taking a beautifully blended painting with millions of subtle color gradients and reducing it to a paint-by-numbers canvas that only uses four colors.
Exactly.
You lose the nuance, but you still see the overall picture, and it obviously takes way less memory to store.
That's exactly the trade-off.
So what comes after the entropy clip?
The second component handles the frequency domain. It's called FFT truncation, which stands for fast Fourier transform truncation. And this makes up roughly a quarter of the compression mixture.
Fast Fourier transforms, those usually deal with waveforms, right? Hmm. Like analyzing signals over time.
They do. Because every physical system or data stream has a frequency. Some parts of the data represent long, stable waves, and other parts represent rapid, chaotic, high-frequency oscillations. Basically, jitter.
Okay.
So FFT truncation acts like an intense smoothing filter. It looks at all that high frequency noise, all the microscopic chaotic vibrations of the data, and it just erases it. It only retains the dominant stable structural modes of the system.
Got it. So if I'm tracking a stock market graph, the FFT truncation would just ignore all those frantic second-by-second microtrades that cause the line to jitter up and down.
Right, exactly.
And it would only preserve the massive sweeping trend line for the entire month.
Okay.
It strips out the panic and keeps the underlying structure.
Perfect analogy. And you can see how this saves immense computational energy, right? You aren't wasting resources trying to predict random noise.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
So the third ingredient, making up about 16% of the process, is phase quantization. And this operation is designed to break rotational symmetry.
Okay, breaking rotational symmetry. That sounds heavy. Let's ground that for the listener. Rotational symmetry usually implies a circle, right?
Mm.
Where something looks the same no matter how you spin it,
mm-hmm.
or where an object can exist at any continuous angle.
Right. So consider a system trying to calculate the trajectory of an object. In a continuous universe, that object could be moving at any conceivable microscopic fraction of an angle. There are infinite degrees of rotation.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, so phase quantization stops the system from endlessly spinning through those infinite microscopic angles. It snaps the data into specific, rigid, directional alignments.
It forces the compass needle.
Huh.
Like instead of dealing with a heading of north-northwest 0.5 to 7 degrees, the black hole algorithm just grabs the needle and snaps it firmly to north, south, east, or west.
It creates a directional collapse, yes. Again, we're sacrificing infinite nuance for immense computational speed.
Wow, okay.
Then we have the final two, smaller components. Making up just under 5% of the mixture is wavelet shrinkage.
Wavelets, those usually deal with looking at data across different scales or resolutions, right?
Which is exactly how the black hole uses them. Wavelet shrinkage applies hierarchical thresholding. It looks at the structure of the information from a macro level all the way down to a micro level, and it decides which layer of zoom actually contains meaningful data.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if the micro details aren't contributing to the overall structure, it just prunes them away entirely.
Kind of like looking at a forest. You could try to calculate the position of every single leaf, or you could just calculate the boundaries of the tree canopy.
Exactly.
Wavelet shrinkage basically decides the leaves don't matter to the macro structure. That is fascinating. And what's the final piece?
The final fraction, under 2%, is fractal downsampling. Many systems in nature and in data are self-similar, right? Meaning they contain infinite recursive patterns, like a fractal where you zoom in and see the exact same shape repeating forever.
Or like holding two mirrors up to each other and seeing an endless hallway of reflections.
Yeah.
A normal computer could easily get stuck calculating those reflections until it just runs out of memory.
Right. But fractal downsampling identifies that recursive loop. Instead of calculating the infinite depth, it captures the overarching pattern, squeezes it into a finite, manageable state, and essentially tags it with a mathematical note that says, hey, this shape repeats. It outright refuses to do the infinite math.
Okay, looking at these five steps together, squashing 1024 bins down to four, smoothing out the high-frequency jitter, snapping the compass needle into alignment, pruning the zoom levels, and then stopping recursive loops.
Yeah.
I can't help but realize we've basically just described how my laptop compresses a massive uncompressed photograph into a tiny JPEG file.
Ah, yes.
The algorithm literally throws away the data my eyes can't easily perceive anyway, keeping the file size small. Is the universe practically JPEG compressing reality at the edge of a black hole?
Honestly, the physical math translates beautifully to that analogy. The black hole is applying a brutal, lossy compression algorithm to the fabric of reality itself, and the efficiency is staggering.
I bet.
The researchers note that the very first step, the entropy clip alone, is responsible for a 98.4% reduction in semantic entropy.
Wait, really? So in a single mathematical stroke, over 98% of the uncertainty in the universe's data is just thrown out the window?
Yes, leaving only the absolute bare-bones structural truth of the information.
Okay, but compressing a static image is one thing. Reality isn't static, right? It's moving. And AI needs to process dynamic, evolving problems in real time. If we just apply a JPEG compressor to a moving system, we aren't necessarily making the AI think faster. We're just making its memory footprint smaller. So how do we get from compression to actual computational speed?
The researchers address that by introducing time dynamics into the framework. They call this evolution ODECCT, which stands for Ordinary Differential Equation Conditional Collapse Theory.
Okay.
So they move from compressing static files to compressing the trajectory of a problem over time.
Oh, this is where we need to talk about why standard AI systems can be incredibly slow. They suffer from this huge tendency to overthink, right? Like, if you give a standard neural network a complex dynamic problem, it will try to calculate every single step of the interaction through brute force.
Exactly. They get trapped in the minutiae of the calculation. But the ODECCT approach doesn't blindly crunch the numbers step by step. Instead, it observes the shape of how the uncertainty is changing over time. It tracks the mathematical trajectory.
I see.
And this brings us to a massive shortcut in the paper, which they call the harmonic oscillator limit.
An oscillator is basically just something swinging back and forth, like a pendulum, right? A pendulum is a harmonic oscillator.
Right. So when an AI encounters a problem where the uncertainty isn't actually moving toward a resolution, but is just swinging evenly back and forth between states, a standard AI will just keep calculating the swings endlessly.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare for compute power.
But the ODECCT system, powered by our black hole compression mixture, looks at the trajectory and recognizes the underlying equation of a pendulum.
Oh, so it sees the math behind the swing rather than tracking the swing itself.
Exactly. It detects what physicists and mathematicians call a limit cycle. The AI realizes that the data is trapped in a stable, repeating orbit.
So instead of doing the exhaustive step-by-step arithmetic to see where the pendulum is a million steps from now, it just steps outside the problem. It slaps a label on the calculation that says this is a repeating loop, and it just halts the compute process immediately. You've got it. Recognizing the mathematical limits of a problem allows the system to skip the computation entirely. You're classifying the shape of the chaos rather than trying to simulate it.
Okay, let's test this mechanism. Abstract physics is fascinating. But if this really works, it should solve problems that fundamentally break normal computers, right? Let's start with a logic trap, the liar paradox. This statement is false.
Oh, the classic infinite recursion loop. Yeah, if the statement is true, then it must be false. But if it's false, the statement is true.
Right.
A standard computational model tries to evaluate the truth value step by step, and its uncertainty just diverges. It crashes the system in an endless loop of true, false, true, false.
So how does the black hole AI handle it?
It deploys the mixture. First, the entropy clip categorizes the binary states. Then the FFT truncation smooths out the rapid back and forth frequency. And the system immediately detects that the truth value is alternating on a perfectly rigid schedule.
So it identifies the harmonic oscillator limit.
Yes, it sees an orbit with a period of 2.
It doesn't even try to answer if the statement is ultimately true or false, does it?
It doesn't need to. It steps back, realizes the entropy is trapped in a loop, and simply outputs a behavioral classification. It says type, oscillator, period, 2.
That is so cool. The paradox isn't solved by answering it. It's solved by observing its shape. The uncertainty drops to 0, and the system moves on instantly.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a clever trick for a logic puzzle. But what happens when we apply this black hole algorithm to a massive physical network? The researchers run this against server health classification, don't they?
They do. Imagine an AI tasked with monitoring a massive cluster of cloud servers. It needs to constantly evaluate if the system is healthy, if there's a memory leak, or if a crash is imminent.
Right, and according to the paper, a standard machine learning approach would pull in data from, say, 50 different server features and run them through 100 decision trees. The fixed cost to do that brute force math every single time it checks the server is 5,000 units of computational work.
But the ODECCT approach treats the server farm the exact same way it treated the paradox. It asks sequential, highly optimized questions to collapse the entropy.
Okay.
It compares the current state to the state 10 minutes ago. It applies the entropy clip to bucket the temperature and memory variances. It uses FFT truncation to ignore the normal high-frequency spikes in network traffic.
So it's looking for the overarching structural trend of the server.
Right. And if a server is caught in a subtle, repeating error loop, the AI spots the periodic anomaly, that limit cycle, and it just exits the calculation early. It doesn't need to check all 50 features across 100 trees. It recognizes the shape of the failure.
And the computational cost for the black hole algorithm to reach the exact same conclusion about the server's health is just 15 units of work.
It's incredible.
We are comparing 5,000 units of brute force math to 15 units of structural observation. That is over a 300 times speed up.
We are seeing efficiency on a scale that completely outclasses traditional machine learning. And the researchers push this to an even more chaotic extreme by modeling global pandemic waves, like we saw with COVID-19.
Oh, man. Predicting the trajectory of a pandemic is notoriously difficult. With standard machine learning, you usually have to run complex neural networks, like long short-term memory models.
Yeah.
You're forcing a computer to calculate the micro-interactions, transmission variables, and recovery rates for millions of people at every single time step. The sheer computational volume to simulate a global wave easily costs over 10,000 units of compute.
Because you're trying to calculate the leaves instead of the forest canopy, the black hole AI approaches the pandemic as a dynamic physical system. It computes the collapse potential of various questions and determines it only needs to ask two things to understand the structure of the entire crisis.
Just two questions to model a global pandemic.
First, it asks, is the basic reproduction number, the R-naught, greater than 1, meaning is the virus actually expanding? Second, it asks, is the wave of infections periodic? Does it show a cyclical pattern of surging and retreating?
And if it applies the compression mixture and the answer to both is yes?
Then it doesn't simulate a single individual person. It takes the entire chaotic trajectory of the pandemic and compresses it into a simple 7-day limit cycle. It captures the structural truth of the wave.
Wow. And the paper states the computational cost for that observation is 8 units of work.
Yep.
8 units compared to over 10,000 for a traditional simulation. The difference in scale there is almost difficult to comprehend.
It really demonstrates the power of discarding everything except the mathematical limits of a system. But we have to address the inherent danger in this framework. There is a logical problem built directly into the physics of what we're discussing.
Right. The idea that if you play with black hole mechanics, you might get burned or, well, crushed. If our AI is mimicking a black hole, aggressively squashing its own data, ignoring high frequencies, and applying lossy compression to everything it perceives, doesn't the AI eventually compress its own brain?
Yeah. The researchers call this the expanded to real mapping trap, and it is a very real threat. If an AI crushes all its internal data into 2-bit limit cycles, it loses access to its original complex reasoning.
Oh, that makes sense.
It becomes incredibly fast, but entirely hollow. It compresses itself into computational nothingness.
So how does the AI survive its own algorithm? How does it avoid falling into its own event horizon?
The paper actually provides a mathematical proof for survival called the escape theorem, and it hinges on achieving what they call singularity velocity. It all comes down to the architecture of the hardware and the speed of parallel processing.
Okay, let's break that down. Parallel processing means the AI is applying all 5 components of the mixture, the clipping, the smoothing, the downsampling simultaneously, rather than one after the other.
Right. And because they happen at the exact same time, the AI updates its internal state in what computer scientists define as order one time or O of one. Regardless of how complex the problem is, the time it takes to process the data remains constant. It happens in a single hardware clock cycle.
So if we were running this on standard silicon chips, that would be fast. But if we eventually map this onto photonic or quantum hardware,
then the AI's clock cycle hits the absolute physical limit of reality, the Planck limit. The AI's inference time drops to 5.39 times 10 to the negative 44th seconds.
That is a decimal point, followed by 43 zeros and a 5. It is the time frame so infinitesimal that our brains can't even picture it.
At the Planck limit, the AI processes and collapses information faster than the black hole dynamic can actually execute the compression. Its collapse rate fundamentally outpaces the physics of compression. It is permanently staying one step ahead of the event horizon.
It's literally outrunning the cosmic vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
But the paper also details a specific defensive maneuver too, right? The temporal decoy protocol.
It does. Think about a system trying to map and attack the AI's complex probability distribution. Because the AI is updating at Planck speed, by the time the compressive force takes a snapshot to lock onto the AI's location or state, the AI has already updated an almost infinite number of times.
Oh, it reminds me of the concept of ghost bids in high-frequency stock trading. An algorithm places a bid, but moves so fast that by the time another trader tries to interact with it, the original algorithm is already gone.
That's a perfect parallel.
The black hole is basically trying to crush a shadow. The AI is the object casting the shadow, but because it moves at the speed limit of reality, the black hole only ever manages to grab the stale projection on the wall. The true AI seat is completely untouched.
The compressive force attacks stale information, and the architecture has one final failsafe. The paper proves that these five mathematical operators are fundamentally reversible.
Oh, really?
Because the AI is operating in order one time, if it ever needs to explain its reasoning or access the deep uncompressed data, it can simply apply the inverse of the black hole mixture.
It can decompress its knowledge.
Instantly. It reconstructs the full reasoning chain in near zero latency time. It achieves the massive speedups of black hole compression while retaining the ability to unpack the data flawlessly whenever requested.
Wow.
That dynamic hypercompression paired with instant safe decompression, that is the essence of computational singularity.
Well, we've covered some immense territory today. We started by redefining intelligence through conditional collapse theory, realizing that the smartest entity is the one that resolves the most uncertainty with the least work. We tore apart the black hole's compression mixture, seeing how tools like the entropy clip and FFT truncation act as the universe's most brutal, efficient JPEG compressor.
And then we moved from static data into dynamic time with ODECCT, watching the AI use mathematical limits to sidestep endless loops, choosing to classify the shape of a paradox rather than falling into its trap.
Which resulted in undeniable real-world acceleration slashing computational workloads for server monitoring by a factor of 300 and predicting global pandemics with single-digit units of compute. And finally, we explored the edge of physics, where an AI operating at the Planck limit outpaces its own event horizon, leaving temporal shadows behind to survive.
The synthesis of astrophysics and machine learning provides a blueprint for systems that don't just calculate faster, but fundamentally perceive the structure of reality differently.
Which leaves us with a truly staggering implication based on the source material. If we successfully build an AI that reaches computational singularity by mimicking a black hole, a system that processes reality at the fundamental speed limit of the universe simply by spotting mathematical loops and limit cycles, how will it view us?
That's the real question, isn't it?
Our incredibly complex, messy, emotional human lives, our daily routines, our historical conflicts, our chaotic societal shifts, just another set of macro patterns. Could a black hole AI look at the entirety of human existence, ignore the high-frequency jitter of our individual lives, and compress all of human history into a simple 2-bit oscillating limit cycle in less than a trillionth of a second?
It's definitely something to think about.
That is a thought to carry with you. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the loops, and we'll see you next time.